Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministries, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we do thank you for tuning in. For those of you that are connecting by Internet, if you would like to call in, we are interactive Bible study, meaning that you have an opportunity of calling in and speaking with the talking with the speaker if you have some questions. Amen. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, all you do is just hit number one, and sometimes we have all the mics open if there is no distractions. And for those that we do have the mics open, you have your phone, make sure they're muted and tell the speaker or Pastor Mixon gives you an opportunity to speak, or otherwise we can hear everything in the background. We do appreciate that. Right now we're going to turn on over. We're going to move on to Long Island, New York, Pastor Dawn Mixon. Amen. Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Yes, sir. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, too.
We're grateful to be on the line again today. Always looking forward to our third Wednesdays to be with you all at this time and season. We're grateful to God for all he is doing. We pray that those who are on the line receive something from God today, the unexpected blessing from God today. But please call someone. Call someone and let them know that we are on the line. Pastor Mixon is on the line, and we have a word to share with you on tonight. We pray Calvary is on the line. I did ask our members to join us on today. Hopefully we will hear what God has to say. We're going to John 9. I was going to start at verse 4, but I would like to start at verse 1. If you would be so kind to just let us have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we are so grateful. We are grateful for the opportunity to be able to hear and glean from your word on today. We pray, O God, today that your word will come forth with power and anointing. God, I pray that you will touch this mouth and that you will that it will speak only what you have to say. No flesh will glory out of this, but God, that you get all the glory and all of the praise. We pray that there is a listener here on tonight that needs instruction, that wants to know which way they are supposed to go, and that that instruction will be given to them tonight. I pray, oh God, for that one who is just about giving up, throwing in the towel, hanging in by a thread, that God, you will touch them today. Let them know how important it is, their salvation is, and that they will embrace it, protect it, and always know that you have stated to us that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And so, God, we thank you even now in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. All right, we're going to John 9. And we're going to read, starting at the first verse of John, the 9th chapter. And it reads, "And Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, then no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay out of spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing." We're going to stop there right now at verse 7, but I want to pull out verse 4. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." I want to talk on the subject tonight. It's time to go to work. or I've got to go to work. All of us have a responsibility to give and receive while we are here on earth. Everything that we do through our responsibility of giving and receiving comes through our work ethics. And some say, oftentimes I would hear people say, if you work harder, you'll reap the benefits of it. Then I hear others who say, don't work harder, work smarter. Whatever method you choose to use, there will be a deposit and receiving through the course of your life. Here in this particular text, Jesus meets a blind man. I know we've heard this story over and over again, but as my mentor says, Dr. Sturtevant, there is no new Bible, so there must be fresh revelation. He goes and he sees this man who is blind. And Jesus immediately goes to work. Here Jesus knows what his responsibilities are. But then the question is asked by his disciples, who sinned? Was it him or his parents? In other words, whose fault is it that the man is blind? Jesus answers them and says, it's neither one of them. But this is so that he might, so that he might see the manifestation of God in him. What we must understand, all of us have a responsibility. Some of us know what we're supposed to do in life. Then there are those who are unsure, but we work until we figure out what our true passion and responsibility is on earth. Here Jesus already knows. Jesus is very well trained, very well equipped to do what he needs to do on earth. Jesus does what he's supposed to do because he recognizes that there are those who are going to come to him and he will have compassion on them. And then there are those who have been assigned, set up to be blessed so that God would be glorified out of their lives. Not only that, because when you read the rest of this text, there is a discrepancy concerning this man. And it talks about how this man is blind from birth, and now there are those who see him and they question, is this the man that was on the side of the road begging? This cannot be the same man. He's got to be somebody else, because ever since we've known him, he has been blind. And in verse 10, it says, therefore, verse 10 of chapter 9, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? And the man answers and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. There were certain things that needed to take place. First of all, Jesus had to do his job. He goes and he works in his passion and the responsibility that God has given him. Then the man is obedient by listening to what Jesus has spoke. And because of that, there was a deposit and a receiving. Here Jesus deposits a healing in this man, and here a man, because of his obedience, receives the sight. There's a lot of us who people question, how did we get to where we are? How is it possible that God has favored you with such blessings? Sometimes there are those who think that they've done it on their own merit, but there's some of us who are spiritually mature, understand that the only reason why we are where we are and as far as we have come is because of the mercy of God. Not only that, but there's some things that you have gone through even from birth that you had to go through so that God can reveal and manifest his glory in your life, so you can recognize that there is a God in heaven and in earth. And when we come to an understanding of recognizing, listen, if this would have happened, maybe if this would have happened after he was a child and he had gone on and an accident happened and he was blind, somebody could have said, oh, this was a freak accident. It just so happens that Jesus spit in the dirt, made clay, and all of a sudden something boomed and took place. But this boy was born blind. This happened from the time of his birth. And so there, we have to recognize, okay, there are things that have happened from our childhood that we can't understand from our child. Why did I have to go through this as a child? Why did I have to grow up this way? But I come to let somebody know tonight that something that we go through is to only glorify God. And can I tell you that when this man received his sight, you couldn't stop him from telling people who helped him get to where he is. Bible says in verse 12, then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I don't know, I know not. They brought the Pharisees to him, verse 13, four time was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he kept not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Listen, there are some people who are not going to be happy that God is being glorified in you. There are going to be some folk who are not going to praise God with you because of what God has done for you. It wasn't so much that they cared about his eyes being open, the miracle of this man being blind and now his eyes are open, but why did he have to do it on the Sabbath day? This is the day of the Lord. How in the world are we going to get upset when we recognize the fact that if they knew who he was, they would have never questioned what he did? That's good. If they knew who he was, they would have never questioned what he did. And so the people said, how could this be? How could he be a sinner when he does miracles, such miracles? Mm-hmm. And so there came a division. Verse 17, and then they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight. Unto they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Listen, some people will go all the way back to the things of your past to help them believe the things of today. It's something how they had to go and question the parents. And the Bible says, and they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then does he now see? I love the parents' answer. I love this because they say in verse 20, we know this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we do not know, or hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. This is a good answer. Ask him yourself. See, listen, you don't have to ask nobody else about my blessing. You don't have ask anybody else about my miracle. This is my testimony. If you got anything that you want to know, come see me. The parents said, listen, go ask him. He's a grown man. Go find out and see what he says. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Now, these words spake by the parents because they feared, watch this, they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Therefore, his parents answered this way. He is of age. Ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no,
mm-mm-mm,
I know not. But one thing I do know is that where I was blind, and now you can try to make Jesus all everything you want him to make. And we're living in a society that wants to disgrace our God, that want to say Jesus isn't real. I don't know what you want to say. You can say whether he be a sinner or whether he be not. All I know is what he's done for me. And I'm telling you, when you get an experience with God,
glory,
let me tell you, saints of God, that I don't know what you think about him, but all I know is my experience with him tells me that he is God. My experience with him lets me know that God shall be glorified out of everything that I do. Now, you can talk about him and say whatever you want to say about him, but all I know is I once was blind. Thank you, James. Now I see.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying to tell you, I'm about to have church up in
Hallelujah.
Because I recognize
Look,
I'm not having church by myself. I hear some of y'all tonight. Listen, all I know is what God has done for me and my relationship
my
with God. Listen, what changes the mind of the man? What in the beginning of this text, they asked the question, the disciples asked the question, who sinned? Was it the man or was it his parents? Listen, the parents said, listen, we ain't got nothing to do with this. This is a grown man. Y'all ask him about his situation. But God said, Jesus said, this is so that he may know that God might be manifested in him. Listen, God will move things out the way, and he will go against the laws of nature. Nature brought him into the world blind, but God said, I'm going to change nature. I'm going to change the laws of nature.
Good.
I'm going to change everything that you've ever known about yourself.
Good.
And God said, whoever's listening on this line tonight, oh, my God, tonight, whoever's listening on this line tonight, God is trying to let you know he will go against the laws of nature on your behalf. So whatever you used to be and what people known you as, a blind man, a sinner, whatever you say they thought you was, you're going to have the testimony. I don't know if he is a sinner or not. All I know is what God has done for me. And when we recognize that, God is getting ready to alter and change and manifest his glory in your life.
Hallelujah.
So you know there's a work that I've got to do. Listen, this man went straight to work, y'all. He went straight to work and started telling them who God was. Listen, they said, if you're going to recognize him as the Christ, then we're going to put you out the synagogue. I think it was my first lady, Shirley Caesar, that put me out. I need somebody to understand tonight that there are some of you that they may not like you in the synagogue. They may not agree with you in the synagogue, but all I know is there is a God in heaven that doesn't. All I know is that there is a God who still in 2016 changes lives. I don't care what's going on around us. There's a craziness that's going on around us. God is still working his work on the wheel. Behind the scenes, you need to know that God is working on your behalf. That's why you got to hold on. I want to encourage somebody tonight. You've got to hold on because there's so many things out here that will cause us to give up. But all I need is one thing. All I need is one sign from God that, God, you are still in my – that you are still on my path and that you're getting ready to make miracles happen just for me. And so this is why we work. This is why we work in ministry. This is why we work in life. This is why we go out and we tell folks about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've got to go to work. There is this is time for the children of God to rise up and get to work.
That's right.
That Jesus says, he says, I've got to go to work. I must, verse 4, I must work the works. Y'all see that? I must work the works. In other words, I must work what I've been sent to do. Not only that, but there's giftings in me that have to be manifested. I can't hold this in. Listen, you when you've been pregnant with, and I don't care if you're male or female, when you are spiritually pregnant with the gifts of God, they
have to be. They have to be birthed, because you cannot hold that in, because then if you hold in the gifts of God and the miracles of God that God has for you, then what you will cause is a miscarriage to take place. And God said, everything that I set forth for you to do, it has to be birthed. That's why there's a nudging, and that's why there's a pressing in some of you to do the things of God, because you're saying, listen, Jesus knew immediately. We saw this blind man. He said, I got to get to work. I've got to go to work. Watch this. He said, while it is day, y'all hear me? While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. See, that's the time that everybody wants to do stuff behind closed doors. They want to do stuff when it's not time to work. Well, I'll go out and witness. I'll go out and witness, and I'll do the things of God that God has called me to do when everybody's asleep. Listen, I know we got multimedia, we got all these different things, and you want to get on Facebook and different things, Twitter and all these other stuff that you get on, and this is my time that I'm going to go on 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm not talking about those who this is the only time they have, but we waste so much time knowing that God has assigned things to our hands, and God is pressing us. He's pushing us. I'll never forget when I gave birth to my daughter. I only have one child that I gave, biological child that I gave birth to, and not until there was a breaking of the water. I knew there was some rustling and some things going on, but after the water broke, you know, I said, I don't understand why all these women are complaining, childbirth is so hard. And after the water broke, it was maybe a good half an hour or so when it began to hit me. Those pains that everybody was talking about began to hit me to the point, watch this, that I had to go to work. Watch this. And no longer could she stay where she was. This is what I'm saying to the people of God. You can no longer stay in the place that you're in when God is, when you're in a place of labor. You have to give birth to the passion and the work of the Lord that is in your life. Listen, don't be dismayed. Don't get upset. Don't try to get, don't get fearful, because God has already given you what you need so that you can let the world know who he is. I'm going to say it again. God has already given you what you need so you can let the world know who he is. He has already deposited in you. Listen, you don't have to, you may not, you say, I don't know a lot of Bible. I don't know a lot of scripture. I can't tell you what happened in Revelations, and I can't tell you what happened in Genesis. All I know is what the Lord has done for me. And I come to let you know you are living epistles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's time for us to go to work. It's time for us to get an understanding that God wants to use you. Let's get away from the myth that you are not a vessel that can be used. We use our reasons like I'm too old. I had the opportunity to go to a service on Sunday night where the Bishop Liston Page Sr. Was preaching at that service. And as the men of God began to minister, the oil on this man's life, you could see he was just oozing with the anointing of God. And this oil that was on his life, God said to me, ancient anointing. And I just looked at the man of God, and I started looking at him. And the power of God was so great just as he began to speak. And as we were there, the pastor was being elevated to overseer, and her son was there. And he received the Holy Ghost that night. Wow. Let me tell you, Bishop Liston Page got on his knees.
Wow.
In his garment, and began to pull that man of God through until he began to speak in other tongues. That's what the ancient anointing will do. It's not going to rest. he immediately went to work. When he saw that he wanted it, he immediately went to work. Can I tell you, those who are here listening tonight, it's time for us to immediately go to work. God, you some of us know what we're supposed to do, and a lot of times we don't do it because we are fearful of what people will say. We're fearful because people have made us feel as if we're not qualified because they looked at our outer appearance and judged us based on what our knowledge is, because I don't have this degree, I haven't gone to this theological school. God says, my anointing, you can't just put in a letter. My anointing comes through experience. My anointing comes through fasting and praying. And so I'm not saying do away with the degrees, but what I'm saying is you can have a bunch of letters but no oil.
That's right.
You can have a little bit of letter and a whole lot of oil. And God is looking for those who are really are looking for the work of the Lord, to do the work of the Lord. And so I'm getting ready to open up the lines at 7:30 because I have a few questions I want to ask some of you concerning the things that we're looking for God to do. And I one of my first questions I want to ask is, should you put your passion before your obligation? Should you put your passion before your obligation? Somebody just can give me expound on that. Should you put your passions before your obligation? Anybody that wants to go ahead and answer that? Somebody said, Pastor, I don't even know how to answer that. Okay. go ahead.
I believe
whoever want to go first.
I believe I put my passion before my obligation, because if I have a passion for something, I love it. I'm going to enjoy it. It's going to be joyful to me, and by it being joyful to me, it's going to be joyful to someone else. So yes, I put my passion before the obligation, because sometimes when you obligate it, you know, you're just doing it for obligation, you know. You're not really doing it from your heart sometimes. But when you have a passion, you're doing it from your heart. It comes with love. It comes with all the good stuff. And that passion that you have will bless others because you love to do it. So, yes, I will put my passion before obligation.
Okay.
Amen. And when I'm talking, passion, y'all, when I'm talking about passion, I'm not talking about fleshly passions. I'm talking about, you know, spiritual things, God, things that you know that God has called you to do, or things that you just know, whether it be opening your own business, whether it be your spiritual walk with God, whatever those things. I'm not talking about fleshly things, but I'm talking about things that will bring you success. Those type of passions. Okay, Minister Herman.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Pastor Rose, but I'm thinking of it in a different way. our passion, and I hear what you're saying, Pastor, about it's not a fleshly passion, but our obligation is first to seek the kingdom of God. Our obligation is to do the things whatever we feel like we desire to do, or have passion to do, that comes secondary to what we're obligated to do. I mean, I'm thinking about Christ on the cross. He was obligated to go to the cross. And in the, maybe I'm going off into a tangent. I done lost it. I'm just thinking that our obligation and our passion should come together. But we're obligated to God. And whatever we do has to be first and foremost. That obligation to Him. That work to Him.
Well, what I'll say to this is that when your passion, when you have a passion for God, okay? When you have a passion
obligation
for God, you're going to meet your obligation.
Okay.
If your passions are for the things of the world, those obligations for God will never be met.
Okay.
So that's why we're
right.
going to the directions of the passion. For those things, whether it be your work ethics or whether it be the things that, listen, when you have a passion for God and God is urging you to do something, the obligations that you have will
fall into place.
It's
going to line up.
Right.
A lot of times when we do things out of obligation, we work every day because we have to. Most people work out every day because they have to. They're not doing necessary because that's their passion. They just love to do this particular job. They're doing it because they're obligated to do it. And because I'm obligated to do it, I don't. That's why there are those who are on jobs who are not giving their passion to the job or giving everything they can because they don't have a passion for it.
Right. Okay. Very good. Very good.
Okay.
Very good.
So if I don't have a passion for the job that I do, my obligations are being somewhat met, but my passion for I want to do, they're not being fulfilled. Okay?
Oh, okay.
So that's why I kind of asked that.
Very good.
It can go either way, and I understand what you're saying, Minister Harmon, because there are those who allow their passions that do not line up with God.
Mm-hmm.
That will cause them to go astray. So when we're obligated, when we're talking about obligation to God, that should be first. But if you've got a passion for God, your first passion should be for God.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I agree with
what I was saying.
Both pastors. Yes, you
kingdom
were.
Of heaven and his righteousness. And all those things shall be added unto you. So therefore, if I'm going and seeking after God, that's my passion.
Passion.
Everything else
very good.
Is going to line up with my passion is when it's connected to God. Y'all hear me? Let's make that very clear. When I am connected to God. Okay.
Okay. Gotcha.
I have another question. Anybody else got
somebody
that's else
good.
Want to
play?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I agree.
The
I
line
agree.
Is open.
Amen.
That's good.
Well, I was told today, reminded of things I did in my past for people. My daughter was very adamant about it. She told me how somebody's getting married and how they're not inviting me to the wedding. And I said, wait a minute. I said, what? She said, you did a lot for this person. I said, I don't look at that. I enjoy helping, and I enjoy doing for others. But I believe that came from God. And I said, when I do anything for anybody, it's out from my heart. And just like he blessed me to be a blessing, that's my passion in my life here on earth, okay? But when it comes down to when I have to do something in my life, I always ask, God, guide my steps. God, guide my words. God, guide me in the right direction. This is the first, that's what I feel obligated to do. What I feel passionate to do is a fleshly thing, and that's sometimes I get confused if it's, you want me to do it, Jesus? Okay? So that's all I'm trying to say.
Right.
Am I, you know? All right? Amen?
Amen.
Very good. Very good.
Amen.
Amen.
There's something, anything you do from your heart, we don't necessarily do it with expectation from others. If I choose to be a blessing to you in any way or form, I don't necessarily mean that you're going to give it back to me. Watch this. Sometimes it's the law of exchange. Don't always seek to get back what you gave from the person you gave it from.
Wow. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Because favor is in a circular motion. And so, in other words, it's going to come back to you, as the Bible says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so, therefore, I don't care how God blessed me. If nobody else does another thing for me, you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So, if nobody does another thing for me, but because I deposited into the earth, it has to come back to me. How it comes back, see, this is what we lose a lot because we have expectations for things to come back the same way we gave it.
Wow.
We think that if we give money, that we're expecting the law of exchange to come back the same way, when God may turn around and give you favor, and you may not have to pay anything at all.
Right,
you know,
right.
And a lot of times, let me tell you, I'll take favor over money any day, because favor is the kind of thing that can get bless you with a house that you don't pay for. Favor is the kind of thing that can bless you with a car that you don't have to pay for. Blessing and favor is what
happens. Welcome to my world. Thank you, Jesus.
when things happen unexpectedly. And so when those things happen, you know, listen, if you give somebody $1,000 and they don't ever give it back, listen, look for it to come back in another direction.
Because what seeds you sow
must grow. Y'all hear me? What seeds you sow must grow.
That's good.
Right, right.
And so it cannot go out and it not come back to you. Now, when we talk about that, a lot of people think that when we say give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, we only think that of good things. But the truth of the matter is, whatever you sow, whether it be good or bad, is coming back to you. And a lot of times we get upset, Lord, why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? You better check your seed. Check your seed.
Wow.
Because there may be a bad seed in there that's coming back to you. So those things we have, we're looking at. Let me get to the next question before I lose my time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Another question. Are you willing to sacrifice your wants over your needs?
Yes.
Sacrifice your wants over your needs.
Oh, there we are.
That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Am I willing to sacrifice my wants over your needs?
Well, I want to make that, and I wanted to live in a mansion.
Hold on.
I wanted to marry a rich son. So God said fit and have purpose for my life, and move according to be connected. And sometimes I feel that God blesses us in a way that he gives us a little vision and show us before things actually happen. Some people, I can speak for myself, that God is going to bless. Now, of course, I wanted those things. That doesn't mean that I actually got it, but God blesses in another avenue. And when you say the favor of the Lord, yes. The favor of the Lord is great, better than money, better than anything you never expect. That's the type of blessing you would want in your life, favor. But the needs and the wants, there are many needs that I wanted, but it didn't happen out that way. But I'm okay. I know that the favor of the Lord is great, and the blessings are still coming.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Now that sound like my relative on the line. Because she called out my car, and immediately my hands went up. As long as I'm living, I have the opportunity to get what I want. Now, the thing is that my wants, watch this, have to line up with God's will.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right.
What if me and God don't want the same thing? What then do I do? I must turn over my wants into his will.
Oh. That's right.
That's good.
Because whatever he wills for me is much better than what I want.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
Pastor.
Oh, my God, I'm blowing my mind over here. Whatever God's will is for me is better than what I want. Why do I say that? Because God created all things, and all things that he created was good. Amen?
Amen.
My mind cannot fathom the things that God has for me. While I'm thinking of Maybach and mansions, God is thinking of cities and islands. We're thinking anything that we think of is too small for God's ability to think over us. So while we're thinking, we're doing good with a Maybach, I said, please, how about I give you a whole fleet of Maybachs? Because God's thoughts and his will, you can't confine God into one little small car, one little small house, one little small man. You've got to recognize that God is so big.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
And he knows he cannot give you what everything that he can't give you everything that he really wants for you at all at once because you couldn't handle it.
That's
right.
That's why
right.
he gives you little blessings at a time because you cannot handle the blessings that God has for you. They're too big. Watch this. Some of the things that we don't have right now is not because God didn't want to give it to us. Some things we have right now, we don't have right now, is because we were not willing to receive it.
Right.
Watch this. Because it didn't come in the package we thought it was supposed to come in.
My God.
So we rejected. We rejected the will of God because we didn't like the way it was packaged. Not knowing that within that package, you know, I remember growing up, there was that show, was it Monty Hall or what was that show where you got to pick a door or pick a curtain?
Let's make a deal.
The Price is Right.
Or The Price is Right. They have that on there too. And because we decided, listen, you had an option. You could have stuck with the first curtain, or you can take two or three. But because you didn't think number one was good enough, then you ended up and taking number three and got a bag of potatoes. That's why some of us are stuck right now with stuff that we really didn't want, people we really didn't want, a job we really didn't want, because we wouldn't accept the thing that was right in front of us. All right, I'm moving.
Wow.
I'm moving.
That's good.
So know this. Know this. There are things that God wants for you, that God has given you a passion for. And I really should have made the statement, should you choose God's passion over your obligations? And I would have got a totally different answer. My last question, because I'm running out of time, is do you feel that the work that you have done is paying off, or has it paid off? Do you feel that the work that you have done is paying off, or has paid off? See, a lot of times we're looking at our now, but sometimes I'm going to give y'all a minute to stretch back to your then and bring you back to your now. And it'll show you how far you've come.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
When you go back to your then,
I can honestly say I had it. I had it all when I didn't have to worry about a bill. I didn't have to worry about transportation. I didn't have to worry about nothing. And when I had those things, I always felt I should share those things. And that's the way I've always been. And so I had a ride on the way to school. I pick up kids on the way. Or if I see somebody on the street walking, I know, pick them up on the way. Money, I was giving away. I got fired from a job because I was helping somebody out with, they weren't supposed to make a phone call. And they made a phone call out of state, and I paid for that bill. I got fired from the job. But in return, I got hired back at that job. Okay? all right? Who figured? I got hired back out that job, and I said that was a blessing because I needed a job at the time. I said, and then I saw that I had a home. I don't have a home now, but I'm blessed. I don't have to pay no high bill, and they're trying to let me get back on my feet. that's a blessing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not scornful about what happened in my whole entire life. I'm blessed, and I am a blessing, and I'm highly safe, and that's how I feel. Each and every day, I say thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
I keep it moving. And so with the wants and the needs and all that, obligations, him first,
mm-hmm.
and I move on.
Listen, amen. Can I tell you, sis, if he did it once, he'll do it again?
That's right.
If
I
he did
have
it
no
once,
words.
He'll do it again.
I'll have
and
no
you
words.
Shouldn't. Because I'll tell you, like I said, some things happen so that God
Glory.
Can be glorified. Okay? So sometimes, I often say this to our members. I often say this. We make plans for our life, but we never put our pitfalls, heartbreaks, messed ups, mistakes. We never put them in the vision of our life. So when we come to a pitfall, and I'm glad that you have the spirit that you have, because you could have been broken and said, how could God bring me here after all I've done? God said, I'm getting ready to make a turnaround in your favor, because you can't do all of that and not get it back in return. In some way or form, there's no way in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's against the law of exchange. Not only is it against God's word, it's against the law
of
nature.
Lord knows I'm birthed.
It's against the law of nature. It's got to come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to come back to you, and it cannot come back to you empty.
Boy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Amen.
God's
Amen.
Word cannot come back. His word cannot go back to him and say, I did not do the work.
Wow. That's good.
It has to. When God, anytime God has done anything from creation to now, he spake it. He spoke it, and it happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes the only hold up you have is because you never said nothing.
Wow.
True that.
That's good.
The thing is, you beg for God for it, but you never command the earth to bring it to you.
Okay.
Why? Because
That's
we
good.
Are born in the image and likeness of God. And how God did things, he spoke it into existence. Watch this. What we keep speaking is negative things, and so that's what keeps coming back to us. That's what we keep blocking our blessings, because we keep saying, I can't, that ain't going to happen. And we block the blessings, that every time that blessing is trying to get to us, here we go again. We say something else that causes it to be smacked out of the air. Speak it and hold on to it. Speak it and hold on to it. All right? My time is gone. My time is gone, but I want us to be encouraged on tonight that it's time for us to go to work. It's time for us to have that passion. Don't y'all people of God, don't give up. Don't give up. I know it gets hard out here. It gets hard in the church. It gets hard to live safe. People try your life, but I promise you, don't give up. It is so worth it. You can't get benefits that we get.
Amen.
The reason why God is sustaining us and keeping us, see, we're looking at things that we want to have, but God is looking at the will of God for our life, where we're supposed to be at the time we're supposed to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
So just don't give up. Don't give up. I encourage you. Just keep on working, because I'm telling you, it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off. And everything that you do, you're adding the blessings of the Lord to your life. And even though they have not been manifested, just like this man, listen, the Bible says he was born blind. But by the time we got down, by the time we got to the to his parents, they said, ask him, he grown.
Yeah.
So this didn't happen until he was a grown man. He had to wait from birth till he was a grown man to say the goodness of the miracles of God. Sometimes y'all just got to wait. Sometimes you just got to wait and trust God. And because the problem is the wait for us. The problem is not will God do it. He's going to do it. Can I wait for it? Yes, you can.
Yeah.
What else you got to do? You ain't got nothing else to do but wait.
Amen.
Well, some of us are impatient, and we're having that microwave syndrome in today's society.
Mm-hmm.
This is the type of generation that we want stuff instantly. We don't have time to wait. We need God now. I need that to happen now. But you're right.
Yeah,
exactly.
you We do. We do. And we have to get back to that old school mentality. Let it put it in the oven. Let it wait until, listen, forget the oven. Put it in the slow cooker. You know we had to wait until we put it in the night before, and it cooked all night. Watch this. It cooked all night. Oh, good God, I got to get out of here. It cooked all night. But when you woke up, it woke you out of your sleep in the middle of the night because what you were cooking was smelling so good. God said, I'm good. Why are you sitting there resting overnight? God said, I've been cooking up what I have planned for you. And it's, you know, it's going to take some time. But if you wait for it, I'm telling you, it's so much better than, listen, you put that stuff in the microwave, it's rubbery, it's pulling and all that stuff, and then you're not even happy. Watch this.
So true.
Watch this. You're dissatisfied with what you ate. Because you were not willing to wait. You are dissatisfied with what you ate because you were not willing to wait. God said, if you wait and be of good courage, I'm going to strengthen you while you're in your wait. Don't worry about it. I've got you. But you're just going to have to wait for it. Listen, I'm telling you, it tastes better in the oven. Just let it wait. What else you got to do? Just pray while you're waiting. Amen. I just want to have a prayer with y'all. I hope y'all enjoy tonight. And we're just looking forward to just the continuing of God's blessing. And I pray that the next time I get online on the third Wednesday that I will hear testimonies of what God has done from this night. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you. I thank you for the many blessings. I thank you for all that you have done for us. I thank you for this opportunity for us to glean through your word. I pray today that, God, there was something that was life-changing that was spoken to someone today to make them run and go to work, that the passion of God has been so pressed upon them that they're ready to make life-changing decisions, not just for themselves but for others. They have to go out. We have to go out and reach someone to let them know the type of God you are. Whether he's a sinner or not, all I know is that he still does miracles. And all I can tell you is my experience with him, not based on what you know, but what I know. He is God. I may have been in a place where I may not see everything, but one thing I do know is that I'm not moved by what I see, and I'm not moved by what I feel. I am only moved by what I believe. And I believe God. Y'all have a blessed night. I'm going to turn it back over to Elder Clay.
Amen. Thank you for that word. We do thank you for that word and the encouragement that we must work while it is day because tonight, amen, when no man or woman will be able to do. So we do thank you for that. We also like Stuart Hawthorne, asking prayer for Stuart Hawthorne, who is in the hospital also. I got a chat here for a young man who has cancer. He is a Muslim, and the young man is asking for prayer for this young man who is a Muslim that he will open up to Christ before he passes on. Amen. So we're going to lift that up. Amen. We're here to pray for one another, encourage one another. As Pastor Mixon has just shown us that we are here, you know, working one for another. Amen. And that's where the blessings come. We do thank you for tuning in. For those of you that called in, we do thank you. For those that are by internet, keep in mind you can go to the archive and you can pull up this sermon, and you can pull it as an archive in Blog Talk Radio. And you would go to We Can Begin Again and pull up the archive. You can pull up anything that we have had online. You can you have an opportunity, amen, to share it with your friend, amen, because we have some dynamic speakers, anointed and dynamic speakers each and every Wednesday. Again, we do thank you for tuning in, and remember that every day is a new beginning. Until the next time, God bless you. We love you.
Amen.
God bless you both.
My mind. I face the dawn.